What's the backstory on that?
You know, this is an interesting move. You know, I had the story a couple weeks ago when the commissioner was in town for the first time meeting with the board. And, you know, some people may have disagreed with her message, but I think if you look at what she said in no uncertain terms that she has every interest in coming here and helping this district turn itself around. And if they can't do it on their own, she does have new authority under the receivership law that she will do it. You know, this is a woman who has a lot of experience in schools and classrooms and has worked in Florida, which is a very strong reform state. And, you know, the sense I've gotten, and I think you've gotten meeting her when she was in Sweet Home, she's very no-nonsense. She knows what her values are and her ideas, and she's not afraid to tell people what they are. And this seems to be another extension of that. You know, she's been in the city. She's met with the board. She's seen the board's track record. I was not entirely surprised that she brought forward her own recommendation for superintendent.
Was her exposure to Dr. Cash through her work in the Florida region when he was in Miami?
They have a lot of kind of crossover, and that seems to be the first. Is she was obviously superintendent in Hillsborough County near Tampa, and he was a high up administrator in Miami-Dade, which is a very well regarded school district nationally for its progress. You know, and there's obviously it's a large urban district and it has a large ELL population. So he spent 4 years working there. I imagine they must have crossed paths. After that, they both were recipients when he was in Memphis and she was in Hillsborough of a Gates Foundation grant to work on teacher effectiveness programs. So I would imagine as they were developing those plans, they probably collaborated with each other. You know, and if you Google the two of their names, you find all sorts of conferences they've spoken at, panels they've presented together on. So it does appear that for probably the last decade, they've had quite a bit of interaction.
So all indications are the board is pretty pleased with his credentials and his effectiveness and what he accomplished, at least in the Memphis City School District. They were pleased with what he accomplished there because they had a merger of sorts.
That seems to be the case, although with the Buffalo School Board, we'll see what the scenario is tomorrow. It's interesting because he does appear to have much of the same reform agenda that is shared by Ely and is shared by the majority of the board and often opposed by the minority bloc and the union. However, it certainly sounds like after meeting with him, members of the minority bloc were impressed with his experience in urban education and seemed enthused to bring him in and let him meet with some other people in the community.
Well, even Carl Palladino told us he was pleased with his credentials, but Carl always wants assurances. And one of his assurances is, you know, having some caveats that go along with how he's going to handle changes to the district and keep on Kevin Eberle.
Absolutely. And this will be interesting to see how this plays out because since the last election, for the most part, on the big issues, this board has been split along very clear lines. This could be a case, just talking to board members, where the vote for superintendent does not fall on those lines. And Carl may continue pushing for Kevin Eberle, but at this moment, it does not appear. I mean, Larry Quinn has said he has no intention of forcing Cash to hire particular people. Jay McCarthy has said that. So if he can't get any more support on the board to do that, they may very well put this person in without those kinds of caveats.
Quinn also told us that he thought that Cash wasn't going to bring along a big group of staff people of his own, that he was more interested in seeing who we have here in the district.
Yeah, I mean, and that's smart. And, you know, if you were, and I'm sure from what I have heard, Kreiner Cash is a very smart man. He's very savvy. He's done his homework on the district. And it would not take very much research to figure out, you know, kind of some of the backstory on that. And I think that's reasonable for someone to come in and say they'll look at who's here, but they may also have connections. He may bring in his own people down the line.
Now, Dr. Cash is not without his own controversies. He's had some issues with a staffer who was involved in harassment. And I also noticed, too, since he left the Memphis School District, it was about 2013, he's gone through at least what I counted, about five different interviews for superintendent posts as a finalist, didn't receive those. Again, Sampson and Quinn didn't seem too concerned about that aspect of him.
Yeah, you know, that goes both ways. He does obviously have a few black marks on his record. And it sounds, we talked a little bit before off air, it appears he has a very bold personality, a big personality. Sometimes that can alienate people. One of the things Carl Paladino said favorably about him is he said he's a bull in a china shop, which for Carl to say that, the guy must really be a bull in a china shop. So, you know, but I think what I hear from some of the members on the board is, you know, their feeling is that anyone who served in any of these high profile kind of positions, you know, there's going to be something on them here or there. And, you know, we've seen how many people have they brought in for interviews, you know, talked to behind the scenes. And, you know, this has got to be like plan F or something. So they, you know, I think there's also a sense that they've reached a point where they need to act. And the other very real thing playing in here is at this very moment, the superintendent has receivership powers. And the longer you go without someone really, truly acting as receiver, the clock's ticking for the district. And if the district doesn't act on it, they will likely lose those schools.
So bringing in someone bold is probably what Ilya is thinking, that it's time to have someone that can come in and deal with receivership and make a difference for the schools. The other thing I wanted to touch on is the distinguished educator, Judy Elliott. She is out.
Right. You know, and this is another, you know, it could all very well connect together. Ilya notes in this memo, she encourages the board to really focus on finding a superintendent who can enact the receivership powers. And it seems from, you know, looking at the letter that she's saying she's in the process of evaluating programs, including the distinguished educator. And when she's done with that review and you know, by then the landscape could change very dramatically in the Buffalo school system. You know, and kind of connecting that to Cash, I think the other interesting thing about the possibility of her recommendation coming in is that could bode very well for the school district. And if she has a connection to whoever's in that seat, one would think that maybe she'll be willing to give them more of a chance to play out some of the reforms. And apparently, at least at this moment, she doesn't seem to think that the distinguished educator position is worth the money at this moment in time.
Yeah, and I know some taxpayers will be happy about that because they certainly complained.
$500,000. It's a lot of money.
What was Judy Elliott's response?
You know, I had an exchange with her over email last night. And, you know, her response, I think, throughout the years here has been one of frustration that she came in. She was charged with coming in. She bit off a lot. The role was not particularly defined. She worked with EPOs. She was looking at attendance. She was reviewing special education, which in and of itself is a huge animal. And I think some of her frustration she's expressed over the years is that she's been issuing these reports and identifying these problems, and no one's really acted on it. I think, you know, I did a story, I think you reported on it earlier in the summer. I think there was an overwhelming sense on both sides of the board and at the district and from her that the role was never really clearly defined. And there was work done, there was reports issued, but there really was no action. And whether that was something she could have done more on or whether that's something that really the superintendent at the time should have acted on, you know, at this point is kind of in the backstory. But it'll be interesting moving forward to see if this position does resurface again.
Well, Tiffany Lankus, thank you so much again for joining us.
Thanks for having me.